Turn your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 1. You may need to look in the index for some of you. It's in the far back in the right-hand side toward the end of the Bible, written by the Apostle Paul. 2 Timothy chapter 1. What I'd like to do is read a couple verses here for you. Begin by reading verses 3 through 7 to get the context. 2 Timothy 1. 3 through 7, and then we'll jump to chapter 3. I'll let you know of that. I thank God whom I serve, as did my ancestors, with a clear conscience, as I remember you constantly in my prayers night and day. So Paul is writing this of Timothy, thanking God for the memory of Timothy. As I remember your tears, I long to see you, that I may be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I am sure dwells in you as well. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. And then jump over to chapter 3, and I'll be reading verses 14 through 17. But as for you, Timothy, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is breathed out by God and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. Let's pray. Lord, as we approach your word, may our hearts be open. May we respond properly to your leading in our lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I came across a rather humorous rendition on some thoughts about mothers that you can appreciate this morning. Things that my mother taught me. Okay? My mother taught me to appreciate a job well done. She would say, "If you're going to kill each other, do it outside. I just finished cleaning the house." My mother taught me about religion. She said, "You'd better pray that that will come out of the carpet." My mother taught me about logic. She said, "Because I said so, that's why." My mother taught me how to meet challenges. She would say, "Answer me when I talk to you. Don't talk back to me." That's a little bit difficult, isn't it? My mother taught me about foresight. She would say, "Make sure you wear clean underwear in case you're in an accident." My mother would tell me that. My mother taught me irony. She would say, "Keep laughing and I'll give you something to cry about." My mother taught me about the science of osmosis. "Shut your mouth," she would say, "and eat your supper." My mother taught me about contortionism. She would say, "Will you look at the dirt on the back of your neck?" My mother taught me about behavioral modification. She would say, "Stop acting like your father." My mother taught me about envy. She would say, "There are millions of less fortunate children in this world who don't have a wonderful mother like you do." And then finally, my mother taught me about justice. She said, "One day you'll have kids, and I hope they turn out just like you." I think we all have heard some of these phrases from our mothers. Oh, thank you, Mother, for all you have done for us. Oh, the family dynamics. We're proud, so proud of our children one minute and then pulling out our hair the next. But there's nothing like seeing the joy on a mother's face when she sees her child graduate. And that was a joy I had this last weekend. Leaving a legacy. How do you want to be remembered, Mom? What will you pass on to your children? The big idea today is this: mothers, don't forget the most important dimension of child raising. yours and your children's spiritual welfare. That is the most important dimension of child raising. Yours and your children's spiritual welfare. Oh, it's good to be concerned about your children's physical well-being. All of us are concerned about that. To see them eat right, exercise, and that they're properly taken care of when they're sick or hurt. There's nothing like a mom for that. It's good to be concerned about their education, to push them academically to be the best. You want them to be in good schools or to be properly homeschooled, to make sure they're learning what they should. That's great. It's great to have them involved in extracurricular activities like clubs, gymnastics, boy and girl scouts, ball teams, music, and other organizations. However, do we do these things to the neglect of their spiritual walk with God? What do you really want to leave for your children to remember you most by? That you're a super mom that juggles everything with ease? That you're their biggest fan at concerts and activities? I think the greatest thing and the most important thing that you as a mom should be known for is your genuine faith, your teaching of spiritual truth, and your love for and obedience to God's Word. The reason this is so important is that these things prepare your child not only for life, but for eternity. We must not only be concerned for the temporary, for the here and now, we must help our children to know the path to eternal life and to a relationship with God. Now, I know that there are others here today that are not mothers or grandmothers. But still, there's some application for you dads, for you single individuals that are here today, for children. We all influence people through our lives. And so maybe you're here today and you're not a mom, but you have a niece or a nephew. Maybe you're a Sunday school teacher and you teach children. I'm encouraging you today to look at this application of passing on genuine faith, teaching God's Word, and teaching them the truths from His Word. Mothers, you do influence your sons and daughters. One of life's greatest blessings is that we have godly mothers. And thus, one of the greatest gifts you can give to your children is to be a godly mom. So here are some things today for you who are grandmothers or mothers, things that you ought to be known for, just like Lois and Eunice from our text before us. Look back at 2 Timothy chapter 1, and we'll zero in on verse 5 to begin with. First of all, be known for your genuine faith. Verse 5. I am reminded, Paul writes, of your sincere faith, Timothy, a faith that dwelt first with your grandmother Lois, and then in your mother Eunice, and now I'm sure dwells in you, Timothy, as well. Paul reminds Timothy of his God-given godly heritage. Paul remembered or recalled Timothy's genuineness of faith and how it first resided in his grandmother and then in his mother. Apparently, the father was unsaved, was not really concerned about spiritual things. We gather from Acts chapter 16, he was a Greek man, and when it's talking about the spiritual heritage, it doesn't include him in the picture. So he must not have been a believer in Christ. We don't know exactly when Eunice and Lois came to know faith or how they came to know Christ as their Savior. But apparently, my thinking is, I surmise, that somewhere along the line, Eunice had gotten married to a Greek individual. She was from a Hebrew background. But somewhere along the line, after marriage, she came to know Christ as her Savior. And she felt that it was important enough to invest everything she had to give her life for this boy to know Jesus Christ and to know the God that she now believed in and worshiped. In either case, Eunice's story is in the Bible for a reason. Maybe it's to give hope to women. Maybe as they've come to know Christ and as they don't have the support of a mate that knows Christ, it's here giving encouragement to them to be true to God no matter what and to influence your children for the cause of Christ. One prime quality which is so important for a woman to pass on to her children, a mom to pass on to her child, is sincere faith. In a text before us, we have, it says sincere. The term is actually, literally, unhypocritical faith. And so the translators have then put here sincere faith or genuine faith. A hypocrite was often compared to an actor on a stage. We've looked at that before in some of my past messages. Lois and Eunice's faith was not like an act on a stage, but it was completely genuine, without pretense, without falsehood, without deceit. It was the real deal. It was the genuine article. Paul was aware that there was no superficiality, there was no play acting involved with this disciple or with their parents or with the grandmother. But Lois and Eunice and Timothy were all genuine faith believers in Christ Jesus. So you see, folks, it is possible to have hypocritical, false faith. It's easy to be a phony, to put on a mask in front of people, to put on the impression of faith, to put on the impression of a genuine concern for God, but only it's only put on in public. It's only put on in front of people at church or those that they want to impress. But what are we really like at home? I believe here what it's talking about is there was a genuineness about Eunice, Lois, and Timothy that was about their lives all the time, all throughout the week, not just on Sunday. In 3 John, John the author voices a joy when he hears about the genuineness of faith of his children. We read this in 3 John 1, verse 4. John writes, "I have no greater joy than this, to hear that my children are walking in the truth." There are 5 times when this same term, sincere, which is used of sincere faith, is used throughout the Scriptures. Romans chapter 12, verse 9. It says this, Paul writes, "Let love be without hypocrisy. Let it be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good." 2 Corinthians chapter 6, when writing to the church at Corinth, Paul describes himself and other servants of God as those who carry out their office in much trial, in much difficulty, in beatings, in imprisonments. But he says this, "But we do so in patience, in kindness, and in genuineness," or without hypocrisy, in our love. 1 Peter 1:22, Peter is exhorting the believers who are tested by trials and temptation. And he says to them, "Since you have, in obedience to the truth, purified your souls for a sincere love of the brethren." There is that term again, an unhypocritical love for the brethren. 2 more times it's used. 1 Timothy, Paul's first letter to the Timothy, in the letter of 1 Timothy, he says to his young disciples, "The goal of our instruction is love from a pure heart, a good conscience, and from sincere faith." And then James 3, he tells us about this as well. In summary, genuine faith shows itself genuine by a changed or a changing life. So in other words, the way you can tell that you are really genuine and not a hypocrite in your faith, moms, is to show it out in the way you're changing and becoming more like Jesus Christ. And again, notice that I said changing, because all of us are in process. And there is no perfect mom in our midst. And there never was a perfect mom. And so we need to be always growing and realizing that we can never do anything perfectly, but we can be trying to be more like Jesus Christ and to have a genuine, real faith. I love how it also goes on in our verse before us. "I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt in your grandmother and in Lois and now dwells in you." The idea here is that to dwell means to take up residence or to make it home. So in other words, what we're talking about here is a faith that took up residence in the life, that was a part of their everyday life, not just once in a while. To be at home. Mothers, that's really a challenge for you to have, that your faith is at home. It dwells there. It's expressing itself out in our everyday life. Kenneth Wiest, in his translation of the Greek of this particular verse, he writes this. He says it this way. Having been reminded of the unhypocritical faith which is in you, which is of such a nature as to be at home first in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and concerning which I have come to a settled persuasion, it is at home in you as well. Having a sincere faith does not imply perfection. It does imply, however, reality. And believe me, our children know when we're real. They know when it's genuine. They know that we are sensitive to sin or not. They know when we're in God's Word or we're not. They know when we're trying to do what's right as a parent and when we're not. Your kids will realize whether you're genuine or not. Not only are godly mothers women of sincere faith, or to be women of sincere faith, but they need to hand it off to their children. And apparently that was well done in the case of Lois and Eunice. It was passed down from generation to generation, and Eunice felt it was important to pass on this faith to her child Timothy. Folks, children are more likely to accept what you have if they know it's real in your life. I'm so thankful for a godly mom. She passed away when she was 51 years of age, but I'll tell you, she left a legacy of faithfulness. My mom was sick most of the time throughout her life, but her joy was evident in Christ. She would sing songs about how God was real in her life, and it was so meaningful because we all knew the trials that she was dealing, especially when she was dealing with cancer and knew she was going to die. She sung songs of joy. My mom had real, genuine faith. Well, folks, genuine faith is important. But what do we need to do next? We need to hand it off, and that's the second point. Be known for teaching spiritual truths to your children. Turn over to chapter 3, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14. There in the midst of this text on the Word of God and all of that, verse 14 we have, "But as for you," Paul writes, "continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed in, knowing from whom you learned it." Continue in what you have learned. Well, that implies that there had to be teaching going on. There had to be someone instructing in the way. And that's just what Eunice was doing with Timothy. And so Timothy learned spiritual truths. Well, what do you think he learned? I think in order to come to saving knowledge of Christ, he had to learn that there was a God who loved him, a God who cared. He had to know that he was a sinner and in need of a Savior. He had to know about Jesus Christ and his sacrifice on the cross. He had to know how to live in this world, but not of this world. Folks, we need to be teaching that to our children. And moms, don't just get so caught up in the daily lives that you're not passing on these important truths. Yes, dads need to be the spiritual leader of the home, and we'll pick on you in a couple weeks. But moms, you need to be passing on those truths as well. They need to be learning them and seeing it modeled in your life. Also, Timothy knew where he had learned about spiritual lives. It says in our text before us, he says, Paul is writing, "Continue in what you've learned, knowing from whom you have learned these things." Learning of spiritual things begins in the home. This task should not be just given to the church. If you're thinking that only Sunday school teachers or pastors are the ones that are to be spreading spiritual truth to your children, then you're falsely mistaken. It begins in the home, and it begins early, and we'll see that in just a few moments. But also, I think he's referring here to remember not only that you've learned these things from your parents and from your mother and grandmother, but you've learned them from me, Paul writes. And you know, that's a wonderful thing that we have to aid us, mothers, is godly Sunday school teachers, youth workers, deacons, pastors, and other men and women in the church and in the community and throughout the school system, which help our children to be pointed in the right direction in godly principles and godly ways. I still to this day, even though both of my boys, two of my boys are outside of the home, we still have one at home, but two of our boys are outside the home, I still pray almost every day when I pray for them, I pray this, that God would surround Michael and Josh with godly influence. That there would be people in their lives, professors and other students, that would help encourage them in their faith, because it's so easy to walk away, to disown our faith, and how we need to pray for the influence to be there, not only from us that we have given so diligently throughout our upbringing of the kids, but also later on. And by the way, teaching doesn't just happen from lecture. You know, we learn from lecture from the pulpit or from Sunday school classes at times, but also it happens throughout the week. As you're driving them to Cub Scouts, as you're driving them to a ball game, you ought to be talking about spiritual things. Some of the best times I had as a father were when I was on the way to a ball game and I was telling my son about things as it related to spiritual things. Now, at times, it gets discouraging. Yeah, Dad, I know that. Okay, I'll be a good sport. I need to live for Jesus. Yes, Dad, okay. But you know what? Hopefully they get the idea how important it is. And moms in the home, as you're sitting around the table and they're talking about the day, moms, don't overlook that opportunity to talk about Jesus. And let them know you're praying for them during the day. Let them know you've prayed for them in that test and those trials that they're facing. Deuteronomy 6 and verse 7 says this, "You shall teach these things diligently to your children. You will talk about them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up." When you put your kids to bed, are you talking about God? Are you talking about faith in Jesus Christ? Are you praying with them and letting them know how important this area is in their life? Moms, it's great to be known for having genuine faith. You need to be known for teaching spiritual truth to your children. And third, be known for your love for and obedience to the Word of God. Notice in verse 15, 3:15, "And how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus." The idea of childhood there is the idea of from, it's the idea of being a babe at the breast of a mother. The idea of from infancy, this takes place. Don't wait until they get in high school. Don't wait until they get in college. It's far too late. Start right off the bat when they're young, telling them God's Word. And that's what it means here, the sacred scriptures. Apparently for them, obviously, it was the Old Testament scriptures they had. The Word of God was not complete at this time. But for us, we have the advantage of the Old Testament and the New Testament, the whole picture here to share with our children. Don't just teach them good habits or good morals. Teach them the Word of God. The Word of God. And by the way, moms, you need to be growing in your love for the Word yourself first. Because they will not learn if it doesn't matter in your life. You cannot impart what you don't possess yourself. If your kids seldom see you seeking God through His Word, they won't catch it for themselves. If they don't see you changing through growing in your understanding of your Word, they won't want it in their lives. Be reading the Word of God to them. And by the way, when they're young, there's some great story Bibles, Bible stories there, Bible story books that you can get a hold of. We have a number of them. We still have shelves filled with them. And we'd be glad to introduce them to you and show them. But it starts out early when they're very young. And some of those picture books and some days I feel like just looking at picture books, you know. But start right from scratch when they're young. A godly mother will use God's Word to lead her children to a saving faith in Christ. Moms, don't assume that your kids will just pick it up in church. Don't assume that they'll just pick it up when you talk about it as well. again, you need to be talking about saving faith, what it means. They need to learn about God's Word and what it says about their need. And as you share the Word of God, they'll learn about people who turned from their sin and were saved. They'll hear of others who made bad choices. It's amazing how the Word of God is filled with people who made bad choices, and it shows the results. They'll hear stories of children whose parents were godly, but the children didn't follow God. And so they need to know about that, and they want to be different than those who didn't follow in the ways of the Lord. And here's another thing I think, moms, it's important. Look for evidence of salvation in your children's lives. Don't just assume it. In fact, I'm humbled as I hear of the number of individuals who really, they were raised in a Christian home, parents thought that they were saved all from the time that they were young, and then they get to college, and then they write back home or call home and say, "Mom, I was saved today at college through a chapel service today. I realized I was not a believer." We need to be looking for evidence of salvation in our children's lives. Are they sensitive to sin? Do they have a desire for God's Word or to know more about Jesus? Do they want to talk about spiritual things? We need to just make it a natural part of our everyday living. And mothers, you have a big say in that, a big part in that. A godly mother will train her children also to live by God's Word. It's not enough to just know the facts about the Bible. A lot of you could parrot the facts, but are you obeying what it says? And that's a very different story. Yes, become familiar with the Word, but obey it. Timothy is a prime example of how a young life can be greatly influenced by a mother and a grandmother, especially if they are godly women. Timothy held a position of great responsibility in the local church, in leading the congregation at Ephesus. It was a difficult assignment for a young man. In fact, as you notice throughout this, if you read 2 Timothy, you find that he was a timid young man. And he was afraid of the challenges before him. But here Paul says, don't be afraid, be strong in the Lord, trust Him to help you. Yes, there was a great foundation, but keep going on for Him. But what a legacy Timothy's grandmother and mother passed on to him. Mothers, in conclusion, what kind of a legacy will you leave with your children? Charles Spurgeon, great preacher from England, said this, "Never could it be possible for any man to estimate what he owes to a godly mother." Abraham Lincoln said, "No man is poor who has had a godly mother." Mom, maybe you feel like you're a failure today. Maybe you feel like you have to be perfect. I assure you, you don't have to be perfect. But be growing, be changing, and leave a legacy that counts for all eternity. God can use you as He used Lois and Eunice in Timothy's life. Walk with God with sincere faith. Use His Word to lead your children and grandchildren to the same sincere faith and train them in God's Word. Let's bow in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we know it's a challenging task to stay true to Your Word. There are so many forces out there from the world, the flesh, and the devil that would deter us, that would distract us, and that would want to try to pry our children away from things of God. And I just pray that moms and grandmothers would stay faithful, would stay true to Your Word, and would not give up in that challenging task of passing on their sincere faith to their children and grandchildren. Oh God, give them courage today, and I pray that we might see a host of our moms who will determine to walk with You faithfully. Lord, may we draw near to You each and every day. Help us, we pray. We cannot do it alone. May Your Spirit give us the enablement we need, and may You give us the determination to never give up. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.